Before we begin, Ricky Thompson from the laundry has a kind of an emergency announcement.
It's just an emergency for the people who are working in the laundry. Yesterday when we asked for blankets, we really appreciated your efforts getting blankets back. But if you're part of the work camp crew, please leave the blankets in your rooms. There should be two blankets on each bed. That announcement was mainly for people in Lodge 6 and in the chalets. So the laundry's getting, Don't, unless you're in Lodge 6. If you're in Lodge 6, take them to the laundry. But if you're part of work camp, just leave them, but thank you.
Before we begin, I'll teach you a song. You can see that the theme song for this summer is so fresh off the press that it hasn't even been cut yet. And Ben told me to tell you that they still need to print the theme vespers on the other side of this. So two things. Please don't fold it. And please make sure it gets back to the doorway afterwards in as good condition as you can make it. And for anyone who has, you know, this is probably sort of a bifocal version. So you can sing either the left side. Actually, the people on this side, you sing the left side of the page, and the people on the right side, you sing the right side of the page. And I'm going to teach you a song that's not in there. This is a canticle from the book of Exodus. It's a canticle that Miriam sings after the crossing of the Red Sea. The refrain, I'm going to sing the whole refrain through, and then I'm going to break it down and teach it to you. It goes like this. I will sing to my God who delivers me from death into life, into freedom through the sea. The first half, just listen. I will sing to my God who delivers me from death. I will sing to my God who delivers me from death. Good. First thing you always say to the congregation, no matter what they sound like. Good. Then you can say, but. This is a dance. Remember, this is Miriam and all the women of Israel dancing. So it's, I will sing to my God who delivers me from death. I will sing to my God who delivers me from death. Into life, into freedom through the sea. Into life, into freedom through the sea. Again, I will sing to my God who delivers me from death. Into life, into freedom through the sea. You'll get it. We'll keep singing it until you get it. That's what Miriam had the same trouble. where's the books? So each time I'll sing it once and then you sing it back.
Dan Erlander is kind of a Holden theologian par excellence with his many books available in the bookstore, starting with Baptized We Live, which has sold, I think, over 100,000 copies, right? And is used in many, many congregations. The wonderful thing about these books is they have pictures, and even though I'm a seminary professor, I always look for books with pictures, and I love these pictures. So we have it available for you in the bookstore at a special staff price, half price, for $4, and invite you, that's thanks to Holden and thanks to Dan and Karen, and want to really make it available for all of you during work camp and throughout the summer for staff. One copy only, don't hoard them. You'll hear about hoarding in our manna session today. Anyway, Dan is a Lutheran pastor. One of the most important things is he's a graduate of the seminary where I teach, Lutheran School of Theology at Chicago. He's got an honorary doctorate from Trinity Seminary in Columbus, Ohio, and many, many credentials. And let's welcome Dan Erlander.
Christopher said to always wear your safety glasses when you're working. Well, so good to be here. And during these days, we are going to go through the entire Bible. So don't blink. I'll try. But these announcements before we begin, if you would, Marty is going to have music in the midst of the Bible lesson, and if you would open to the blue to 670 and just put your hymn thing in there or your finger and be ready, and we'll sing stanza 1, 2, and 3 when it comes that right time. I like to begin by just sharing the joy of storytelling, and that's what these studies will be this week and next week as we go through the Bible, is just telling the story. And a background to that, after I had been ordained, 7 years after, I decided to quit because I didn't like being a pastor. And so the dear bishop, Carl Sagerhammer, sent me to San Anselmo for a special redirection counseling program for pastors who want to quit. So there I went through a battery of tests and counseling and more tests and evaluations. And then I had my final evaluation at the last day with the leader, and he looked at me and he said, "We have looked at everything in your tests and all the information, and we've decided there's nothing else you can do." So then I remember going out on the lawn, a beautiful lawn, sitting in the grass, and just saying, "You know, I could be a storyteller." And I thought, and people even finance your living to have you tell stories. Why would I ever want to get out of this? So I say I was called into the ministry 7 years after my ordination, and I'm still happy. I begin with this, that the world, and in fact the whole universe, with this premise, is in need of mending. And the major reason it's in need of mending is one species on this earth. Well, I'll tell you this story. We had the chimpanzee people up here at Holden from Central Washington that run the Chimpanzee Human Communication Center. And Roger Futz, I asked him once, you know, the Bible does say wonderful things about creation, but it concentrates so much on human beings. Why doesn't it say even more, especially the New Testament, about nature and creation? And thinking of his chimpanzees, he just looked at me and he says, "Everyone except humans get it." And so the world needs mending. The story begins with God, who will be our main character. God is vexed. I like that word. God is vexed, and very vexed, at a place called Pharaoh's Egypt. And God sees Egypt, and it's in the form, not the country, but the system is in the form of a triangle. With God or the gods above the triangle, the Pharaoh just before, just below, representing God, then is the Pharaoh's family, and then there are all the big deals and the elites and the administrators, and then there are the free people of Egypt. Then under them are all of the slaves. And God doesn't like this. And God hears the cry. The Israelites groan under their slavery, and they cry out, and their cry for help rises to God, and God hears their groaning, and God takes notice of them. And so this is what God does. Calls Miriam and her two little brothers, Moses and Aaron. And he says to them, "Dear Miriam and Aaron and Moses, go down into Egypt's land and tell old Pharaoh, let my people go." Stand and twice as loud, go down, Moses, way down in Egypt's land, hello, Pharaoh, let my people go. You may be seated. And Moses, Aaron, and Miriam truly irritated Pharaoh. They irritated the Egyptians. They so irritate Pharaoh that he lets the people go. The slave people, oppressed, beaten, after sharing a meal, they leave. Egyptians so happy that they are going that they even give them clothing and jewelry. And they are led by a pillar of fire by night, cloud by day, and they walk to the Red Sea, or more accurately, Reed Sea. And there they look behind, and Pharaoh's army has them trapped. And the people cry out, "Thanks a lot, Miriam, Moses, and Aaron." But then the mighty act of God, Moses lifts his staff, a wind blows, the sea is dry. The people go forward on dry ground, and then Pharaoh's army follows, and they're stuck in the mud. And on the other shore, the Israelites see them drowning and say, "We're free. We're saved." And then Marion takes up her trampoline. Oh, and she jumps and says, "We're free. We're free." I'm just saying, if you're listening. I'll back up. Miriam takes her tambourine. And the Lord says, "Dance, Miriam, dance." And the women join her, and they dance and dance. And God says, "Sing, Miriam, sing." And the women sing with her. "Sing to the Lord, for God has triumphed gloriously. God has thrown horse and rider into the sea."
I will sing to my God who delivers me from death, into life, into freedom through the sea. I will sing to my God who delivers me from death, into life, into freedom through the sea again. I will sing to my God who delivers me from death, into life, into freedom through the sea. My strength and my courage, my joy and my song, my Savior, the one who delivers me. I will sing to my God who delivers me from death, into life, into freedom through the sea. I will sing to my God who delivers me from death, into life, into freedom through the sea. Remembering the people who cried unto you for freedom, for life, you delivered them. I will sing to my God who delivered me from death, into life, into freedom through the sea. I will sing to my God who delivers me from death, into life, into freedom through the sea. Preserving, protecting the people you love, you open the sea and deliver them. I will sing to my God who delivers me from death, into life, into freedom through the sea. I will sing to my God who delivers me from death, into life, into freedom through the sea.
God is mother. God has birthed a people. And I would ask some of you here who are parents, when the first child came, did you ever look at that child crying because it's really saying it was much better in there? And then to hold that little child and then say, "Now what do we do?" Is that anybody's experience? And then you go to a bookstore. And I think of God being so similar, you know, "Now what do? I have birthed a people." And God thinks, "I will lead my baby people to a land." And how we dream about babies. My nephew and his wife just had twin boys, and to see them first when they were 1 month old, and to even have the one time I got to hold both of them at the same time, and then to look in their faces and to dream, what will they become? What will they be? And God has a dream for these people. And the dream we find in Micah 4 and Isaiah 11 and Genesis 12. God dreams and plans. I will lead this people to a land, and there they will be my partner people. And the rest of the world, tired of oppression, tired of war, tired of struggle between classes, tired of alienation, they will look and see how my baby grown up lives. I will give them a covenant. And they will live in such a way that the nations will stream to them. And the nations will say, teach us the way of your God. And so God says, I will now lead them to that land. And now it takes 40 years. 40 years. And I looked on a map, and I think I'm fairly accurate. It's about 250 miles. Does anybody know more accurately than I do? About 250 miles. There are various theories of why it took so long. One, Moses was a man and wouldn't ask for directions. And others are that Moses was on the Myers-Briggs. He was an INFP. Thanks. And decisions are hard, and you like to have things in process as long as they can be in process. But the best of the three theories is this one, I think, that they came out of Egypt with Egypt's mind. The only way they knew how to set up a society, the only way they knew how to live together, and that is the king up here, the big deals, directly close to God, than the others, and down to the oppressed and the slaves. And those up here have the power, those up here have the wealth, and those down here are crushed. And then over here are the priests of the temple that make sure everyone understands that this is God's way of people living together. And then just in case that doesn't work, you have police and military over here to deal with anyone who isn't getting it. And this is their mind as they leave Egypt. That's why we have the saying, it was easier for Moses to get the people out of Egypt than to get Egypt out of the people. And remember early 80s being in Namibia when it was still under South Africa. And it was so similar to that saying about Moses. A Namibian pastor was standing talking to us, and then we turned and a whole group of Namibian people were walking by on the road. And that pastor just looked at them and he said, it will be so much easier to free Namibia than to get South Africa out of the minds of this people. And so God says, I will turn the wilderness into a classroom. And God gets it all set up. There's little desks in rows. There's a desk up in front with a wastebasket. And then there's a blackboard in the wilderness. And the blackboard says, theme for today, how to live as free people. And God says, I will teach them in the wilderness how to live. I will love them in the wilderness. I will hold them and bless them. The wilderness will be my school. The wilderness school. By the way, I was just making that up about this, you know, chairs and seats and wastebasket and anything. But now 40 years in the wilderness, Holden Village. If there's a dream for this place, and this dream has been fulfilled partially in my life and in so many, that this would be God's wilderness in this way, that we come from our Pharaoh's Egypts. We come here from the empire, and that Holden may be a new old wilderness school. And the prayer that it may always be God's wilderness, God's teaching that there's another way for humans to live together. There's another voice. Come to the wilderness and there to learn the teaching of the God of Exodus, the God of freedom, the God of liberation. We sing, O God of Exodus. Serve the Lord.
Who's that here?
Who's
Boss Mr. Brown? We need to go to work.